Welcome to Pro Tips for the Pros, brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads. In this series, we'll explore essential advice for professional contractors to deliver outstanding renovation results. Let's dive in. Keep the work area clean and organized throughout the renovation process to create a positive impression and minimize stress for the customer. Regularly clean up debris and dust to maintain a safe and comfortable living environment. Thank you for joining us for this pro tip on planning thorough renovations. Stay tuned for more expert advice brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads.
A lot of people tolerate ordinary. Ordinary bathrooms, kitchens, entryways. Well, not on your watch. If you're a pro, you've got a new partner in town. Floor & Decor. From tile to wood to stone, Floor & Decor has more styles and job lot quantities of Schluter, Mappe, Laetocrete, and other brands pros trust. Come see a whole new way to wow with Floor & Decor. Coming soon to Bailey's Crossroads.
Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Hello, everybody. We're back. It's another episode of the Roma Press Podcast. Hope you are doing well. All right, Andy, I have a sense that we're going to have some disagreements on this one. So Roma, they end up drawing against Inter. And I guess it really depends on what sort of outlook you have in life. If you're generally pessimistic, I can understand why you're feeling a bit negative about this one. However, if you are generally an optimist, I can see and understand your perspective as to why you could be relatively happy with what happened yesterday. Which side of the fence are you on for this one?
Can I just say that, listen, I don't think I quite expressed my expectations for this game well enough before on the previous episode. My expectations were very low. I just wanted to see a team that looked different than the one we saw against Napoli and against Atalanta, where they flat out gave up in after the opening, 10, 15 minutes. And that's all I was looking for. So I must say that a draw in a game like this, after the performances that we've seen in the past in games similar to this one, a draw is something I hold very dear to my heart right now. It's not a bad result. It's actually an encouraging result, because partly there was a performance there that was worthy of a positive result, and then you have that piece, good portion of the game that Roma just didn't look like Roma, or better yet, they looked like the Roma that we knew from the Napoli game, the Atalanta game, the Juve game in the final 20, 25 minutes. But for both teams, mind you, for both teams, this was a game where a good 60 minutes went for one team and then the rest to the other one.
There was some good. There were some bad. Let's start with the bad, because my biggest issue was, once again, Fonseca. I thought when there were moments, and I know this is where you're going to disagree, when there were moments where he needs to impose himself, where he needs to alter things, where he needs to make a change, where he needs to spur the team on, we didn't see that, or at least we didn't see that early enough. I can't explain these blackout periods, Andy, that Roma have. Match after match against the big sides, it is so confusing. And the worst part is you know when they're in it, and you can sense it, you can feel it. And those are the moments where, me at least, I looked at Fonseca and I think, okay, your team is struggling right here. They're behind the ball. They're not doing well. They're getting stretched out. They're struggling to string passes together. They're getting caught out. Change something here. Bring somebody on. Yell out some instructions. Do something. I just hate how he plays this role of sort of like the passenger. He just sits there and watches things unfold. It is very discouraging. I don't understand it, because I have yet to hear from him why he thinks this is happening. The only thing he said yesterday was that we had 20 to 25 minutes that were very fatal. He did discuss some of the tactical things. We got too stretched. We weren't able to press in the manner in which we usually do. But still, I just, that doesn't explain why this happens big match after big match. And that was the discouraging part. First half, I thought there were a lot of good moments, but let's just start with the negative portion of it. Get it out of the way.
Well, I mean, it's not that I disagree with you. It's I do believe that it's inexplicable why Roma, you know, go up 1-0 against Inter at home. After the first half, they come back and they disappear. They vanish because the first half you were in the lead. Inter were the ones that had more possession, but you did a good job of recovering the ball and counterattacking, and you maintained your composure. You looked organized, and it looked like a fair game. And then you get back into the second half, and you have the lead, and you don't capitalize, and actually you concede, and you almost end up losing the game because of how flat you looked, and there was no pressure. There was all the things that you saw in the first half, and those opening 25 minutes of the second half were not there, which is discouraging. And obviously, I do think that the Cristante substitution should have been made earlier.
Much sooner.
I do think that that is, to me, that's, I mean, one could argue for Borja Mayoral to be played on sooner, but to me, the one substitution there in that game that made and should have made the difference even earlier on was the Cristante, because we were struggling in the midfield. We needed an extra body. It was just that simple. Obviously, there was also the issue with Hakimi and Spinazzola, who clearly hasn't recovered yet from his injury. So that was the issue, is that you were flat, you couldn't get out of your own area, and it just was very disorganized. But then again, there is that moment where sort of Roma managed to turn things around, or finally they get out and start to play like themselves. And till the very end, you were the one dictating the tempo. I mean, a lot of people try to talk about the way that, you know, the substitutions made by Conte helped Roma, but Roma was in control of that game before the substitutions were made, before Perisic was on, before Kolarov was brought on, and Gagliardini. So there is a point in that game where all of a sudden, I still don't know, I don't know why, I don't know the reason for as to how the hell we managed to switch our attitude, our composure from nothing to something, and put Inter in great difficulty, and then obviously get that goal that helped us draw.
Yeah, it really was one of those matches where it was almost like a tennis match, where back and forth between really bad and really good between the two sides. And it was really difficult to grasp who was going to look like the winner in that. So you mentioned the substitutions. One thing that I had an issue with was, I think we would all agree, Dzeko was pretty bad yesterday, right?
Correct.
Perhaps one of his worst performances of the season. And Fonseca said before the match, in his pre-match press conference, he was asked about the possibility of Dzeko and Mayoral playing alongside each other. See, for me, I thought that would have been a good moment to bring him on and maybe try the two of them together, something different. Because, and I know this is something you brought up and a couple of others in the patron group chat said too, is that it might not necessarily be the substitutions that are the problem, but the opponent knowing who the substitute is going to be, so they can get used to the way you play when you go to somebody on the bench. and I'm not sure, but I could have swore you tweeted something like that out. Is that something that you think maybe holds Fonseca back when it comes to making changes? I guess my confusion still rests with him in this apprehension and going to the bench earlier in the second half, because it is very, very confusing. And we talk about Mayoral being in a good moment. I mean, Cristante, this is the best he has played since he's arrived at Roma. I thought he should have come on sooner as well. I'm very confused by Fonseca's approach with the bench, because it lacks consistency in the way he uses it.
It does, but it also shows that, you know, there is an extent that he's willing to go and with certain substitutions. I mean, Borja Mayoral had a good, very good game against Crotone, but in a game like this, you can see that just like against Samp, Fonseca believes till almost the very end that if he can give Dzeko, you know, an extra minute or two, maybe he'll get something right. And that's what happened against Sampdoria. He kept Dzeko long enough for him to score that goal. That goal is a goal that Borja Mayoral, I don't think, can score. That's something that Dzeko does, and he did it. In this game, I think that was, again, his sort of plan. Just, oh my God, you know, like, you know, he's played awful, but maybe if we can keep him a bit longer, something can happen. Obviously, that wasn't true. And I also thought that, you know, after a game like the one in against Crotone, Borja Mayoral should have been given more space and should have been given a chance, because it's one thing to play against smaller sides, and it's another one to even come on and really battle it out till the very end against a side like Inter. So, obviously, you know, there is an extent to which the manager is willing to go with certain substitutions. And Cristante is in a good moment, and you need an extra body. That should have been made earlier. I was pleasantly surprised with how Bruno Perez did not put us in a tight spot. Thankfully, because Hakimi was gassed and needed to come off, and then you had Kolarov, who's, I believe, 85 years old. but it's a weird game, because if you'll notice, both fan bases are very either happy or unhappy with the result, and you know, Inter are considered to come out as losers in this game, because they were the ones that it seemed like were in complete control and should have been in complete control because of the difference in quality of the rosters. But at the end of the day, it was two teams that had multiple ups and downs, that still lack something to really carry out truly great performances in games like these. And that's it. That's, you know, it's both managers made some mistakes, but they also made some really good decisions. And I thought that, for example, trusting VR in this game, not going for the more conservative choice of indeed starting Cristante despite his good moment, trusting VR, putting him out there, getting that much needed experience in a big game, was the right move.
A musician with technical knowledge can play all the right notes, but one who cares enough to play from the heart gives music soul. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Because when you work with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. Truist, leaders in banking, unwavering in care. Start feeling unstoppable. Visit truist.com/care. Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank. A coach who knows the game can teach their team how to improve. But one who genuinely cares about each player,
you have what it takes. We got this.
Can inspire them to win. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Because when you work with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. Truist, leaders in banking, unwavering in care. Start feeling unstoppable. Visit truist.com/care. Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, I think nearly all of us probably would have yanked him off, right? when we were all calling for the substitute with Cristante, I think VR probably would have been the primary candidate that
yep.
would have removed, right?
And then no goal. If you take off VR, no goal.
Exactly. So that's exactly where I was going with it. I think, shifting to the positive now, if you do want to take something out of that is really, really good to see, is there's clearly a reason why we sit in our homes and on our couches tweeting while Paulo Fonseca is the manager managing, because he had to have seen something to leave VR on there, because I think, as I already said, most of us would have removed him in favor of Cristante.
And that's, mind you, that's something that he did in the past. Usually when VR started, he'd come off around the 60th, 65th minute mark. And this time, he took out Vertu.
Exactly. And you don't get the goal. He delivers a really, really, really good pass that leads to the equalizer. So there's some good things that you can take with it and some bad things. As well as the good things, listen, I understand that this, again, I am disappointed, not necessarily from the mere standpoint of it's fun to win these big matches, that goes unsaid, but listening to Conte after the match where he has to talk himself and everybody, for those who missed it, Conte was asked about the result and he was saying, well, this is a team in Roma that is fighting for the same objectives as we are.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that is shithousery.
The same man who rejected Roma because he said Roma are still not there. Still not, that's still not in the right moment for me.
It's unbelievable trying to play that narrative, but whatever, allow him to have it. However, when you sit back, you analyze Inter's roster, what they've spent over previous summers, and then you listen to Conte, you just realize that these are two clubs, whether we like it or not, these are two clubs in very different moments with very different
right.
objectives, right? Because I don't think anybody listened to Conte and actually believed that line that was coming out of his mouth.
No, obviously it was a manager in distress. I mean, he basically said that after getting Hakimi, he didn't get anybody else, which is a big insult to the likes of Vidal, Kolarov, Darmian. It's very strange, but at the same time, it shows one manager is dealing with a completely different situation than the other one, and obviously the objectives are different. Inter could have easily, I thought, took control in the final 20 minutes had they relied on the likes of Eriksen and Sensi, you know, somebody that can hold up the ball. Even Sanchez, somebody that has the footwork, the technique to hold up the ball. Because that's what Roma did. I kept rewatching those final 20 minutes or so. And it's a different team. I don't know what goes on in our heads. Because you think that at halftime you scored a goal, you have the lead. The natural thing to do is go out there and play as confident as you did, if not more than in the first half, and then the opposite happens. And then in the final 20 minutes again, you have a different Roma, and everybody's pushing. I mean, the goal, Mancini's goal, stems from a shot on goal taken by Mancini. You know, that if Mancini is right there in Inter's penalty area taking that shot, it means that the whole team is pushing. The whole team was doing the right thing to grab that decisive goal to get the draw. That was it. I mean, it's so weird to analyze this game. But one thing that I must say that was a relief, and somebody else picked up on it, is that both Paulo Lopez, who I have to say had a great,
phenomenal, great
performance.
Man
despite
of the
some,
match. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, despite some passes, you know, that put us on the spot. Some the saves he made were brilliant, and all of them were necessary. Great stuff. Finally, to see some confidence getting back to him, and one of the things that really struck me is that both Paul Lopez and Mancini, who are the ones who gave post-match interviews, they both said, you know, that it wasn't really, it didn't sound like they were celebrating the draw. It sounded like they were a bit disappointed. Yes, they were glad that, you know, it got to 2-2 in the final 5 minutes or so, but they felt that. They felt a regret of not capitalizing. And I really hope that spread all over the locker room, because this has to be a lesson learned. Because there was a reaction, unlike Napoli, unlike Atalanta, where you just flat out gave up, didn't show up, nothing. Here, there were portions of the game where Roma really played to their potential. And I'm, at least the positive takeaway for me is that they seemed to be more aware of it this time, that there were some really bad things that they did, not enough to get the result they truly wanted, which is a win.
As far as individual performances go, I thought Paul Lopez was absolutely sensational. With him, this has to be all mental, right? I mean, beyond that, there's really no other explanation, because those saves that he was pulling out, I mean, that was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. He saved the result with the
Lautaro.
Yeah, right. And then you look on the other side of it, you see Handanovic, who goes full Walt Disney. He just freezes. He's a statue. Yep. On every goal, it seems that Inter concede, he's caught just standing there. And it's just really weird to watch a pretty low level, or I'm sorry, it's weird to watch a high level match between two big teams. Mm-hmm. But in goal, you have these very, very, very two head cases that you just, you don't know what you're going to get. You're either going to get something really bad or really good. Cristante, good as well. I thought most of the defense did pretty good. They held Lukaku in check for the most part. Going back to the semi-negative, okay? So are you growing at all concerned, though, that they're not getting victories in these big matches, or no? It's just they're not losing, and you can sort of live with that.
So far, if you ask me, you know, what my impression is, so far I can live with this unless, you know, something drastically changes with the team. And again, I expect this game with its positives and negatives to be a learning lesson. And I think that, listen, John, if there is a game to prove that the Inter game was a learning lesson, it's the derby. I mean, we should be glad that the derby is right there for us. You know, it's right there for the taking. You're not thinking weeks about it. It's right there. You know, it's right in front of you, and it's a chance. It's a chance to exactly answer that question of yours, whether we should grow concerned with how this team is really unable to cope with the pressure of these big games, whether the manager's tactical deficiencies keep getting in the way of this team succeeding in these matches. So far, what we have, three draws against Inter, Milan, Juve, two big defeats against Napoli and Atalanta. And now there is no better game than the derby to show up. And it's one thing to be sort of not scared, but still consider Inter a team that is far superior to you, because we all know the money they spent on Conte, the money they spent on some of the players they brought in. So, but Lazio are right there for the taking.
They are. What are you expecting from it? Because this is a Lazio side that have been, I mean, we complain about Roma being inconsistent at times. This Lazio all season, they look good in the Champions League, and then they drop points to, I don't know, Udinese. you don't know what in the world you're getting from them, because sort of like Ink Dad, it feels like there's really no middle ground with them. They're either very, very good or very, very bad. And it's very confusing, because the way they perform in these good matches, it's like two different teams. Now, I think if you talk to most people, they might blame that on Lazio not having a lot of depth, which is true. However, I don't think that necessarily explains these drastic grades mm-hmm. in performance that they have. So I know it's, you know, we don't know what we're going to get, but even if you get a very, very good Lazio, the Lazio that defeated Dortmund earlier in the season, I seriously, though, don't think that they are that incapable of being defeated, because I think they have, as far as deficiencies go, I think they have way more than the Roma, no?
Well, of course, and I think the standings show that. Lazio are a team that doesn't create a lot. This year, they've struggled to create enough to warrant them consistent wins, consistent results. You know, you look at some of their best players. Luis Alberto is having a very disappointing season so far compared to previous years. And that's their key man. That's the guy that helps Immobile get his goals. This is a team that also doesn't, you know, shine defensively. So it's... But the thing about these games, about these Lazio games, about the derby, is that these are games that are sort of create their own little world. And
right.
everything yeah, that happens before that, it. Right? It's always that. I mean, whatever happened before that doesn't matter. You go into a derby and it's the match is a match in itself. It's a whole league on its own. And but this Lazio side should be easily exploitable by a team like Roma, with the counter-attacking that has Roma, with the quality up front that Roma has, with I think good quality defending. And I'm glad that Ibanez didn't get another yellow, because I think this is a perfect game for him. I think that this just a player like Ibanez or you know, other players, even like Vertu. I mean, these are the games that these players that have these sort of aggressive style and the qualities that we, you know, that are based on physique, on strength, are all about. And we can't treat this like, you know, like we're going up against a monster of a team. This is a team that should be beatable. This should be a winnable game. So if you ask me right now, to me, obviously the main thing is to grab 6 points right after that, you know, to get a win against Spezia, a win against Verona, especially after that shitty result to open the season. But obviously this derby, man, it's... And I don't remember even how long ago I felt some sort of excitement following a derby, you know? So before and after a derby, I mean, that's ages ago. So I definitely expect this game to be a massive chance for Roma to prove that we learned something from the Inter game. We learned to play the whole way through.
Yeah, the thing that worries me most is, you know, as far as Lazio goes, I mean, they are in serious, serious trouble for European play next season with the way the table currently sits. And they might come out very, very desperate. They might come out swinging, very, very aggressive. And I'm curious as to how Roma sort of responds to that punch. Because what did we talk about in the build-up to Inter? Roma, they're a team that jump out to quick leads, but in the second half, they have problems holding on to those leads.
Yep.
And that's exactly how it played out. Now, of course, it did come back and ended up drawing, but I feel as if, though, at some point, Andy, they're going to have to stop that. You can't allow yourselves to concede these leads, and they're going to have to find some maturity and find a way to play with a lead and be comfortable with it and not continually piss yourself time after time after time after you work so hard to get the lead.
Right.
But it's almost as if you play as if you're too afraid to concede the lead.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the one thing is that these, you know, the goals that Roma have scored in these big games, and especially, you know, now the yesterday in the Inter, they're not, you know, it's not a matter of luck. It's not a matter of circumstances that favor Roma. The first goal is a beautiful ball recovery from Vertu and a beautiful buildup from Roma. And so is Mancini's goal. It was a result of Roma pressuring Inter, that ball going constantly into Inter's area, and finally you being rewarded by that. So it's weird, because what really sort of worries me in those moments is that Roma look completely like they have zero confidence in themselves. But like 20 minutes ago you were playing lights out. I mean, it's that's what bugs me, is that how can you be so different in a time frame of 20 minutes? You know, 20 minutes ago, you looked like a great team, like a team that really could inflict some damage. And now you look like lost puppies. So what is that? And especially against Lazio, especially in a derby, we know how emotional these games are. We know how many fouls are called, not called. It's physical, it's gritty, it's aggressive. There is some tension. Even without the fans, there's going to be some tension. So obviously, it's going to be filled with ups and downs. But I do expect Roma to get better at keeping a consistent level of performance, because you can't really go from being, you know, playing like prime Galacticos football to just looking like a Monday night Memphis Grizzlies. You know, it's I would have said Cleveland Cavaliers,
say you spared me the Cavaliers.
Yes,
guys,
yes,
so
I spared you. Okay, it's okay, man. And it's just we both want to see the same composure, the same level of calm that we saw against the smaller sides week in, week out. We see that every week, mostly for the most part of this season so far. Why can't we see it in a derby?
Are they winning? You were confident before the match against Inter. Are you confident now?
I want to be. I will say that, you know, usually I come on here and I say, "Oh, I'm not feeling too confident, not feeling too optimistic," but I do expect them to grab the 3 points, and it's obviously it's still you know, it's not a game for me. The must win are the games that follow that, Spezia, Verona, and so on. But I do expect them to get the 3 points at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think as far as individuals, I think as far as the manager goes even, I think Roma are the better side. The fear, though, is, Andy, and I don't know if you feel this way too, and maybe others do as well, is that when Roma encounter a bad result in which they drop points, how do they respond? It's very unfair of me to do so, but I can't help, because of what we've seen in the past, I can't help but have that feeling in the back of my mind of, oh gosh, is this the moment where it all just falls apart? Is right. This where the meltdown lies?
Yep. And, yeah.
But in fairness, I don't think we're totally and completely absurd for feeling that way, because there is such a large body of work and history behind it. It's not as if we're...
Wow, that was a beautiful euphemism, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not as if we're irrational for thinking so, I guess.
Of course.
We have been disappointed and burned by Roma many times before, but I guess my hope is that, so far this season at least, they've answered the call every single time that they have dropped points, right?
Right. I do have to say, though, that I wouldn't be so confident had we lost against Inter. Had Inter kept up that kind of pressure that they maintained throughout the first 20 minutes of the second half till the very end, and the final result was that 2-1 or maybe even more, who knows? I'd be worried right there. I don't know. It's just that sometimes we saw them react following the Napoli game, going up against Sassuolo in 10 men. If we saw them react following the Atalanta game, winning against Eusebio's Cagliari. So obviously we have that also, that history of this team this season so far reacting. But I guess that sometimes there's too much of it. And that would have worried me. Right now, I'm still confident. I'm still confident that this team is learning, and the celebration at the end of the game, the way Mancini and Paolo Lopez spoke of disappointment, show me that this is a team that is learning. It's a team in progress, and despite what you want to say, it's a team in progress, and players are openly talking about that there is a learning curve. There is something that is learned game by game. And I do hope that they come into this derby, they put everything behind them and just focus on playing consistent good football. And then I also hope that this derby doesn't get disrupted by refereeing. These are games that are so easily just fractured by episodes. I hope that they just let them play, and that it's still without the crowd, without the fans, both teams living through different moments this season. I still hope that this will be a good game, and obviously let's hope for 3 points. I think it's doable.
Very quickly before we go, watching that yesterday, was there a player that is realistic, who is available on the market, that you thought could have influenced things one way or another? I know we said it a number of times, but even though Mejoral did not get introduced as quickly as I would have hoped, I can't help but feel that El Shaarawy would have been perfect for that kind of match.
Yep. That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, as it was unfolding before my eyes, I was thinking, man, I would have loved to see just El Shaarawy. You put El Shaarawy in that situation, he knows immediately what to do. And it's not us overestimating a player that he also had multiple ups and downs. But in that final season at Roma so far that he had, he showed such maturity. And also he showed that he developed a great deal of intelligence when it came to these situations and big games. He could have been vital, especially when you don't have Pedro, when your only substitute in that winger position is Perez. It would have been a great, great help with El Shaarawy being such an energy boost.
One more thing before we go. So I got into a nice little debate on Twitter during the match. A lot of people and I disagree with this, but I don't know where you sit with it. They were, when I said, I wish Fonseca would make these changes sooner, he kept hitting back. I kept receiving, well, who do you want him to bring in? Who is good off of the bench? And I couldn't help but think, well, who were the best against Crotone, Mejoral, Cristante? They were on the bench. Perez, okay, whatever.
You don't even believe him.
That's fine. We don't have to do Perez. But Diawara, I just felt like there was a lot of intellectual dishonesty, I guess we could call it, in the arguments against Roma's bench. Look at Milan, man. They don't have a good bench. They're at the top of the Serie A. If you don't think that, or let me reword it, I'm not going to buy that Roma have a bad bench. I'm not, because Diawara off of the bench, how many other teams in Serie A can say that, other than maybe Juve, Napoli, maybe Inter, if you bring on Eriksen? I just don't like that argument. I don't.
Well, to to an extent, I would agree with you. And on the other hand, it's always, I mean, would you feel confident putting Diawara on in a game like this after him not playing for so long and putting in the performances that he did in the Europa League following his COVID thing?
I think if it's for 10 minutes, I think he can definitely do something. And I think he offers something different than VR and Veretout, obviously. This is a Gista. Does not have the positional awareness of a VR, and obviously he doesn't have the motor of a Veretout. But I think if you're looking for just pure balance, and the thing that I thought Roma struggled with, holding on to the ball, particularly in that during that half an hour-ish blackout period, I thought what Diawara is good at could have helped in that instance. But I kept being told that everybody on the Roma's bench is terrible. But I guess I don't buy that premise.
I'm not going to go as far as to agree with you on the Diawara thing. I thought that I do think that the bench in the form of Cristante and Mayoral should have happened sooner, especially following the Crotone game. You need that boost of confidence from your manager in a game of this magnitude. In a moment where the team is clearly struggling to hold on, to create something, it would have been interesting to see both Dzeko and Mayoral up there together, because Dzeko clearly struggled on his own. And obviously it was a midfield that was fragile, and we know that's the weakest link in these big games and in tough situations. It's the midfield that suffers, because I guess there is some kind of fragility that is consistently exploited by these bigger sides. They know that after some time, the likes of Veretout, the likes of Pellegrini, eventually even VR will, you know, will fold under pressure. I guess that's what happened. You needed Cristante up there, and he gave you extreme, like, the moment Cristante came on, the team found the right balance and found the confidence that helped them sort of turn the tables around and put Inter in a tough spot.
I agree. All right, we will be back later in the week ahead of the match against Lazio. Big, big, big derby match. So we will be eager to see how that plays out. All right, everybody, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you in a few days. Until then, ciao.
Ciao.
Welcome to Pro Tips for the Pros, brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads. In this series, we'll explore essential advice for professional contractors to deliver outstanding renovation results. Let's dive in. Before starting any renovation project, take the time to plan meticulously. Assess the customer's needs, budget, and timeline to ensure a smooth and successful renovation process. Thank you for joining us for this pro tip on planning thorough renovations. Stay tuned for more expert advice brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads.
A lot of people tolerate ordinary. Ordinary bathrooms, kitchens, entryways. Well, not on your watch. If you're a pro, you've got a new partner in town. Floor & Decor. From tile to wood to stone, Floor & Decor has more styles and job lot quantities of Schluter, Mappe, Laedocrete, and other brands pros trust. Come see a whole new way to wow with Floor & Decor. Coming soon to Bailey's Crossroads.
Welcome to Pro Tips for the Pros, brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads. In this series, we'll explore essential advice for professional contractors to deliver outstanding renovation results. Let's dive in. Clear communication is key to a successful renovation. Keep the customer informed at every stage of the project, addressing any concerns or questions promptly to maintain trust and satisfaction. Thank you for joining us for this pro tip on planning thorough renovations. Stay tuned for more expert advice brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads.
A lot of people tolerate ordinary. ordinary bathrooms, kitchens, entryways. Well, not on your watch. If you're a pro, you've got a new partner in town, Floor & Decor. From tile to wood to stone, Floor & Decor has more styles and job lot quantities of Schluter, Mappe, Laetocrete, and other brands pros trust. Come see a whole new way to wow with Floor & Decor. Coming soon to Bailey's Crossroads.